Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
Good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Amen.
Talking about the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Amen.
Talking about Cornelius.
Yeah.
And Holy Spirit falling on Gentiles, and if you can believe that, and all this other stuff.
I can.
Whew. So last week, this is probably going to turn into three or four shows at the rate we're going, but anyway.
It'll be a summer project.
That's right, it'll be the summer project.
You're a summer series.
We'll try to get it done before the fall.
Yeah.
Because then we put reruns. Oh, no, we don't put reruns.
No.
So I think probably we ended the last show with Peter's vision of the mm-hmm. animals. We probably better read that again.
Yeah.
Want to start Yeah, why don't you read 9 through, well, 9 Six. Through 8 for starters.
9 through?
Well, no, how?
9 through 16?
9 through 16.
Yeah. The next day, while they were on their way and nearing the city, Peter went up to the roof. Excuse me. Peter went up to the roof terrace to pray about noontime. He was hungry and wished to eat, and while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something resembling a large sheet coming down, lowered to the ground by its corners, by its four corners. In it were all of the earth's four-legged animals and reptiles and the birds of the sky. A voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, slaughter and eat." But Peter said, "Certainly not, sir, for never have I eaten anything profane and unclean. The voice spoke to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you are not to call profane." This happened three times, and then the object was taken up into the sky.
Wow. So Peter's on the roof praying. That's pretty nice. I mean, this is really, he's now, this is Peter post Pentecost.
Yes.
He is pious and praying. He's not just praying at the prescribed times, you know, and going to the temples at the right times. He's in a quiet place. He's away from the noise. He's praying. Cornelius's guys, by the way, are on their way to the house where Peter is. Peter doesn't right. exactly know this yet. But while he's on the rooftop, he has this vision. And it's kind of neat, too, that it says he was hungry and people were cooking food for him. So he was basically waiting for lunch. So he figured, you know, while he was waiting for lunch, he was going to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And he went into this ecstasy. The Greek word here that's used is ecstasy. We know what that means. He's where he's caught up in a different realm. He's not really aware of the world going on around him. He's looking up to heaven and he's, because of course he knows that the authority comes from heaven, and he has a very intense, serious revelation with this vision of these unclean animals.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Peter as a faithful Jew says, "I've never eaten anything unclean."
Yeah.
I'm not going to start now. I'm not going to start now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, I do this. I do the dietary laws.
Right.
I may not have been like the holiest guy around, but I do the dietary laws. And you know, the Lord tells him, you know, don't call unclean what I've made clean.
Yeah.
This is a sheet with all unclean animals. And Peter's told to eat them. I mean, this doesn't really mean much to us because we eat unclean animals all the time.
Right.
But to Peter, this was a big deal.
Right.
And, you know, this shows you that the distinctions between things were about to change.
Yeah.
You know, something different was going to happen now. And, you know, a lot of teachers point out that this sheet not only had to do with the animals, but also had to do with the Gentile people. That, you know, that not only were these animals now clean, but these unclean people were now also clean. And don't call unclean what I've made clean, because as Gentiles became believers, they weren't unclean Gentiles anymore. They were now joined in Messiah into the one new man.
Yeah. Yeah. What's taken place is that God is fulfilling what he has designed
mm-hmm.
with the coming of the Holy Spirit. And not only with the coming of the Holy Spirit, but with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And in the blood of Christ, our sins are, he's the atonement for our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ is the atonement for my sin, for your sin, and for all the sins of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it also restores all of creation back to God. Mm. Because what the first Adam lost, mm-hmm. Jesus restored.
Mm-hmm.
And so, all of God's creation is good. When sin entered into it, it turned God's creation basically upside down.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So God's creation isn't bad. It's sin that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think we can get lost in that because we think, oh, that's of the world and it's bad. And I'm not saying that some things of the world aren't bad. They are.
Mm-hmm.
But God's creation, you know, he created animals, he created humans, he created plants. He created the world to be lived in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not in a, not as, you know, as he says, I created it and designed it to be lived in, not as an empty waste.
Yes.
You know, so, but he's also established as establishing with Peter that those who you thought were unclean are now going to be in the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
They're now in the kingdom. They're now your brothers, mm-hmm. adopted brothers and sisters through Christ.
Yes.
Through Jesus.
Yes. Because the sheet really represents the law as a distinction between Jew and Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the one new man, Ephesians 2:14-17, about how in his flesh Jesus broke down the partition between the two, creating mm-hmm. in himself one new man. So what God is saying to Peter is, this is no longer unclean. And you're about to encounter some Gentiles. In fact, you're going to their home group. You just don't know it yet. But you're going to encounter some unclean Gentiles that, you know, a few months ago you wouldn't have even talked to. But now they're going to be your brothers and sisters in the Lord.
Right.
And this is, you know, this is pretty amazing. You know, Peter wouldn't have generally been hanging around with Gentiles.
Mm-mm.
And at this point, he really still isn't hanging around with Gentiles.
True.
But,
true.
You know, now, because of what Jesus did, this is now going to change these distinctions. And Peter's reaction, of course, is a normal one. I've never done this before. I know I'm hungry right this minute, but no matter how hungry I am, I'm not going to break God's law. I mean, he stood pretty resolutely here about keeping the law, keeping his integrity. You know, he wasn't going to eat something unclean just because he was hungry.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Gentiles were thought of as unclean because they weren't in the covenant. They couldn't be in the kingdom. They weren't circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't be cleansed by God. They couldn't go into the mikvah and have their dirt washed away. They couldn't go into the temple and bring a lamb and confess their sins. Peter says, no way, I'm not doing any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't even know that Cornelius's men are just about to the door. Like, just while he's done saying this, the doorbell rings.
Yeah. Do you want me to read on from 17?
Yeah.
So it says in verse 17, while Peter was in doubt about the meaning of the vision he had seen, the men sent by Cornelius asked for Simon's house and arrived at the entrance. They called out inquiring whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. As Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, there are three men here looking for you, so get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without hesitation, because I have sent them.
Wow.
Then Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your being here? They answered, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, respected by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them in and showed them hospitality.
Wow.
So Peter invites them in.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
They invite a bunch of Gentiles into their house.
Now, wouldn't he have considered his house to be defiled?
Yes,
if he had done this
absolutely
before?
It would be defiled. So here they are. They're in the house. So, and this happens. Peter's still pondering this thing about the animals.
Yeah.
And God's, you know, plan is moving.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, Peter, there's some guys downstairs. Go down there.
Yeah.
Stop pondering. Go down there. Smack yourself around. Get downstairs. And because, you know, everything's happening at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting that the Holy Spirit tells Peter, these guys are looking for you, and I sent them.
So. Yeah. So go down there, meet with them, and let them into your house.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, when Jesus ascended into heaven, and they're looking up at the sky, and the angel comes down and says, men of Galilee, why are you staring into the sky?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus gave you, you know, it's like he gave you something to do. Go and do it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, good
point. So it's somewhat similar to that, but as you said, everything's moving really fast here because Peter gets this vision. He's pondering it, and at the same time he's pondering it, the angel of the Lord appears to him.
Yes.
And he gets a message.
Yes.
So it's pretty fast as to how things are changing and Peter's obedience to this.
Yeah.
Because if he would have invited a Gentile person into his house, it would have been defiled, right?
Yes.
What would he have to do to... undefile it.
Yeah, you know. He would have had to,
you know,
do something.
Yeah, so this is something that is totally foreign and something totally new.
Yeah,
to what is taking place here because of Jesus Christ restoring everything back to God.
And this happens in such quick succession.
Yeah,
you got a sheet with unclean animals, and all of a sudden you got Gentiles at your door. You know, what's this world coming to? I mean, this is bad. And the Holy Spirit telling him straight out, I sent these guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't have any doubts about this. Don't worry about it. You know, sometimes, and he's trying to grasp, and this happens to us, you know, you're trying to grasp something that just happened.
Yeah.
And then the next thing's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're open to the Spirit and you're kind of, you know, you want to flow with what the Spirit wants you to do, you have to kind of say, well, okay, I got to go now.
Yeah.
I can't sit up here thinking all day about these animals because now I got unclean Gentiles at my door.
And it, you know, how many times do we like balk at what God is telling us and we stall?
Yeah.
And we don't want to do it, you know?
Sure.
I mean, there's still people today that don't want to acknowledge that, you know, Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit. There's still people that don't want to, they want to divide between Jew and Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
And yet what God has done here in the Acts of the Apostles that's recorded, you know, just, it is above and beyond where somebody else is trying to limit what God can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, even today, there's still, you know, there's still instances where people don't understand what God did here,
mm-hmm.
as far as bringing Jews and Gentiles together. And we talk about this a lot in terms of Jews and Gentiles, but we really don't talk about it as being one in Messiah.
Yeah.
Because we use old terminology. God's doing something totally new here.
Yes.
But we're stuck in the old terminology of what we know.
Yeah.
And God's like, no, I'm trying to do something new here.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You're not unclean anymore.
That's
don't
awesome
don't
point.
Profane don't profane what I've done. They're clean now, Peter.
Yeah.
But yet there's people that still want to say clean, unclean.
Right.
Jew, Gentile.
Yeah.
Servant, free person.
Yeah.
And that's not the language. I really don't think that's the language of the kingdom, because what Jesus Christ did and what God has done in giving us the Holy Spirit as the advocate has taken that and, you know, he's made it something new that they didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't understand.
That's right.
Because
God's not limited by what he's done before, and he's not limited by what he did yesterday.
No.
He's doing something new. In fact, in Isaiah, it says, I'm doing something new. Don't you perceive it?
Right. Right.
I mean, and most people don't like new things. I mean, we like things the way they've always been.
But, yeah, we do.
And Peter liked things the way they were. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden, he's 3 years with Jesus, which was a little different than he was used to. And then there was all this thing with his death and resurrection and then Pentecost. And now, you know, all of a sudden, he sees unclean animals, and he's got Gentiles at the door.
Yeah.
I mean, this is pretty weird.
I mean, if you think about, you know, what you just said, he's walked with Jesus for 3 years. Jesus taught his disciples for 3 years, but yet they still didn't understand.
Yeah, still didn't understand.
Now, in a matter of 50 days, 60 days, maybe 100 days, things are changing so rapidly that all of this is beginning to unfold before their very eyes.
Yeah.
And Peter is being obedient here.
Yes.
He's being obedient to the Spirit of God.
Yes, and he's going to be obedient. He's going to go with them.
Yeah.
And he's actually going to bring, we don't know how many, it says is Cornelius and his family, and we don't know who all was there. Mm-hmm. But he's going to bring a bunch of Gentiles into the church.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we know Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, but here Peter goes, preaches to a bunch of Gentiles, mm-hmm. and not only do they believe, but the Holy Spirit falls on them while Peter's still talking, as we're going to see. And a whole group of people come into the church because of Peter's preaching.
Yeah, don't give away the ending.
And the angel came and arranged it, which was pretty neat. And, you know, it's you know, Jesus had told them before this in John, you know, 14 and 15 and 16, and Peter would have heard all that. You know, Jesus told them, you know, but the Spirit's going to come and he's going to tell you about me. He's going to tell you what to do. He's going to be, you know, kind of motivating you to what you're going to do. He's going to embolden you to do things. And, you know, these guys show up at the door and they say, oh, Cornelius saw an angel and the angel told us to come and get you. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, and the Holy Spirit told Peter that there are men looking, there are three men that are there looking for him.
Yeah. He said, and the angel said, you have to come to his house. He has to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. So he's going to go and he's going to go to teach his first home group.
The first home group. This will be Peter's first home group. And I wonder who did the music.
Probably, would have been Paul.
Yeah.
Paul Wilbur.
But back, you know, then he gives them hospitality. Like you said, even though they were Gentiles, they stay there overnight because it says they leave the next morning.
Because,
you know, they had to travel by foot. I mean, in those days, you didn't just, you know, drive from Joppa to Caesarea and, you know, maybe it's a 45-minute drive.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to walk it.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a while, no highway. So he lodges them overnight. And it's fascinating because he, in a short amount of time, Peter has these two experiences of things that were a sign that something new was happening. And, you know, sometimes we say, well, you know, Peter doesn't always get it, but you can't really blame him for not immediately getting it. I mean,
right.
He's getting it pretty good. I mean, I think he's getting it pretty well considering.
Now by the, you know, you see the transformation that's taken place because now that the Holy Spirit has fallen upon the apostles and the disciples that were there in the upper room, they're now empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And they're being obedient. They're not thinking, I don't want to say they're not thinking humanly, but Peter's response to things has dramatically changed.
Mm-hmm.
He's no longer saying, oh no, I'll go before you, Lord. Don't worry, I'll be there before you.
Yeah.
Now he's praying. He's being obedient.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not responding the same way that he did.
Yeah.
There's been a total transformation that has taken place, not only in him, but all of the disciples that were there in the upper room, because now they are anointed with the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus in the Jordan.
Yeah.
And that's what it means to be a Christian.
Amen.
That you, it's not just that you believe things about Jesus. It's not that you just accepted him as your Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you're anointed now with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit comes upon you when you receive Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And now you're responsible for that gift that God's given you because now he wants you to be his messenger to the furthest ends of the earth, just as they were.
Yes.
You're there. You receive the same power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus did to heal the sick, to give sight to the blind, to raise the dead. So, you know, to say that you're a Christian doesn't simply mean that you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. It means that you received the same anointing that he did in the Jordan.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And for those of you that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know what he's talking about. But this is just such a fundamental, you know, the change. Like we talked a couple of weeks ago, or a few weeks ago, whenever it was, about, you know, Pentecost morning, this same Peter quotes verbatim from the prophet Joel, quotes verbatim from Psalm 16 about how David's talking about the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And this is because he's Spirit-filled. And after you've had that experience with the Spirit, the Scripture comes alive for you.
Yes. Yeah.
And now, you know, Peter is processing this and being obedient, as you said, because he has seen enough and had enough experience now where he knows something big's going on here. The kingdom is really breaking into the world, and he's at the front line of it.
It's bigger than he is.
Yes. And so when the Holy Spirit says to him, "I sent these guys," he knows, I better go do what they're telling me. Yeah. Let's read the next day here. In 23.
So the next day he got up and went with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went with him. On the following day he entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and he had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him, and falling at his feet, paid him homage. Peter, however, raised him up, saying, "Get up, I myself am also a human being." While he conversed with him, he went in and found many people gathered together, and said to them, "You know that it is unlawful for a Jewish man to associate with or visit a Gentile, but God has shown me that I should not call any person profane or unclean."
Hmm.
"And that is why I came without objection when sent for."
Yeah.
"May I ask then why you summoned me?"
Yeah. Woo, let's pause there. That's so awesome. So the next day they go. And it's interesting that he takes a group of people with him. You know, it's like he doesn't go just by himself. He takes some other. Now, these are all Jewish believers he takes with him.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got a group of Jewish believers. We're going to find out in the next chapter what happens with that. But you got a group of Jewish believers about to encounter a group of Gentiles who are about to become believers.
Yeah.
This was so radical at the time.
The first ecumenical meeting.
The first ecumenical meeting. Yeah. And this was so radical at the time. To us, we say, "Oh, yeah, well, Peter went there and preached." Oh, we know that. But when you think about being there, this would have been unbelievable. Peter even says, you know, "It's not really lawful for me to go to your house."
Right.
"But I came."
Right. I mean, and that's a big thing. That is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't understand the culture at that time, or if you don't understand just, you know, Jewish law.
Yes.
It was unlawful for a Jewish man to associate with a Gentile or visit them.
Yes. Yes.
But now Peter is saying, "But what God has shown me, or that God has shown me, that I should not call any person profane or unclean."
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah.
It's unheard of.
Yeah. And Cornelius is so excited that Peter's coming. He got his family, his friends. He wants everybody that he knows to come and hear Peter.
Yeah.
Because he knows the angel told him that this guy Simon Peter's going to tell you something. And Cornelius is tuned into that, wants everybody to hear this.
Yeah.
And he's so amazed by what's going on that he falls down before Peter.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Peter says, "I'm a man just like you. Don't bow down to me." You know, he even picks him up.
Right.
Which is kind of neat, because Peter knows, you know, here's Cornelius thinking, "Oh, this guy Simon Peter is this holy guy who's coming to talk to us."
Mm-hmm.
And Peter's probably thinking, you know, "I'm like a sinful guy. I denied the Lord 3 times, and I was pretty much of a jerk in those days.
Yeah.
So don't bow down to me."
Yeah, but, yeah, but it's pretty amazing.
This is an awesome interaction.
Yeah. I mean, it speaks volumes to us. If there's any question about any separation between Jews and Gentiles, this should speak volume to anybody that God has restored them to himself through his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Woo! Show's over already.
It is.
I was going to say that. Anyway, hope you had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray, just as Peter is obedient to the Holy Spirit, that you too would be obedient to the Holy Spirit and go where he is calling you to do the will of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.